Well, we rounded a bend in the road. All of a sudden, I caught something out of the glimpse out of the corner of my eye, and my horse immediately reared on me, and I tried to pull him down. And at this instant, after I seen the object to the side, I wasn't able to see it again for a little bit. It fell with me. I probably pulled him half over. And as he got up, I was able to get up and control him until I went around the other side and got the camera out of the saddlebag, and then I turned my horse loose. And I seen this creature, and she was at that point had turned around and was just going up the bank, a small bank over there, and I started running and trying to get a shot of her, and I yelled at Bob to cover me.
This is Bob Gemling, and you're listening to the Paranormal Portal.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us on this epic journey of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. If you have an experience and you wouldn't mind being a guest on the show, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me via email at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Today, we have an amazing show. Recently, Don and I were in Madeline Falls, Washington at a Bigfoot festival there.
Day number three. I got the selfie stick now. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Bob Gimlin.
Oh my
God. And Russell Cord again.
Yes. Yeah. Well, not again, still.
Still. Oh, still. Yeah. He already made an appearance though.
And he left us. He didn't want to get on there.
He didn't.
No.
Well, you know, a little bit of rust goes a long way.
Hey, you said that, I didn't. but I understand it really good.
Well, thanks again for sitting down and talking with us today. That was a pleasure.
It's my pleasure.
Okay, well, good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And you guys are really, really good guys to talk to.
Well, thank you, man.
Because you're easy to talk to.
It was everybody in the know.
Well, there you have it. From Bob Gimlin's mouth, ladies and gentlemen, we're good guys.
And watch the Paranormal Portal because Bob's going to be on it.
Oh. Well, yeah, I didn't know that, but please watch it.
Endorsement from Bob. That's awesome. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Had an incredible time. Everybody was wonderful, amazing. You're going to hear me use that word amazing a lot in describing this event. It was just phenomenal. The town people were amazing. The presenters, everybody there was amazing. It was just an incredible opportunity for Don and I. And we had so much fun. Made some great connections and contacts and a lot of new friendships in the Bigfoot world and had a ball. So first and foremost, I want to give a special thank you to the town of Madeline Falls and to Extreme Expeditions Northwest LLC for letting us be a part of it. Bill Besson, specifically Stephen Majors, and the list goes on and on and on. There's so many. And the people at the Cutter Theater were amazing. And the Washington Hotel. While we were there, we had the incredible opportunity to sit down with the legend himself, Mr. Bob Gimlin. And we got a chance to sit down with Bob and have a great discussion, not only of the Patterson-Gimlin film, of course, that was a big part of our discussion, but a lot about the man who is Bob Gimlin as well. And let me just tell you, folks, I've talked to very few people in my life that were as kind and engaging and heartwarming and sincere as Bob Gimlin. He's the kind of person that when he talks to you, he makes you feel special. And you can see in his eyes that he is genuinely happy to be there talking to you. I love the man. I was already a huge fan of him, but given the opportunity to sit down and talk with him, I am absolutely blown away. He is just an incredible gentleman, and his down-home charm and that glinting smile of his is just infectious. And wherever he goes, he's just happy and warm and incredible. And I am so honored that we had the opportunity to do this. And I'm so honored to be able to present that discussion right now to all of you. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is my great pleasure to be bringing you this podcast.
You're the godfather of the Bigfoot movement. I mean, in modern age, you're the guy that was part of the team that, you know, got the what remains today the most compelling evidence of Bigfoot. And I've got to ask you, how did all that start?
It's really hard to explain. You guys never met Roger Patterson.
No.
I wish you could, because he was kind of a unique guy. But we were down there just in the Bigfoot, well, in Bluff Creek area, see? And it was already known as the Bigfoot area before we ever went down there.
Okay.
Because back in when Tom Slick had an expedition in there, they was having finding big tracks, you know, and stuff by the water holes and so forth. Then when Tom Slick died, or well, he got in a crash of his own planes, you know, and died, then that expedition all quit, died down in 55 and 56, see.
So you and Roger went to Bluff Creek on this expedition, because you said that Roger was trying to get you into this, and you guys went up into the mountains in Bluff Creek area, right?
Yeah.
So how long was your journey out there before this all happened? And do you remember how...
Well, I don't remember exactly, but about 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow.
We were down there riding, and... Well, we got called down there, or some people called Roger and said, "Hey, Roger, get down here. We put a piece of equipment or a tank in up alongside the mountain to refuel the road graders and the cats and stuff so they didn't have to haul it all in the back of pickups." So they put a big tank in there, bladed out a place, put a tank in there, and I think they did it, if my memory is right, they did it on Labor Day weekend, on a Friday afternoon.
Okay.
And so they come back on Tuesday morning, and there was tracks, big tracks all around, because the dirt and stuff was still fairly fresh.
Right.
From bleeding the spot out and put... And so... It kind of went from there, you know, on. And then it rained. And then by the time we got down there, it had rained. And the tracks, well, they were there. You know, you could see where they were, but they weren't really good tracks that you could put a plaster cast in.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And, sure. But anyway, so we just decided to stay a while and ride around, all around. And so we just rode every day. We both had horses there. And we just rode every day around, you know, made big circles around. We always come back to camp at night. Well, there was no reason for us to camp out, you know. So it was just a little more pleasant to come back and camp and eat a little bit better, and just everything was more comfortable, see?
Sure.
But first one thing then led into another, and the day that we saw her, it was, Roger was riding in front of me, about 2 horse lengths in front of me. when we come, was riding up alongside the creek, and we come around a big, there was a big downfall root system of a tree that had got washed over in 63 and 64 flood and stuff down there. I don't know. You guys are too damn young to remember that. But there was, a lot of that area changed. Trees washed down out of the mountains and, you know, and everything that, that got loose and caused a great big dam between two hills. And the dam was probably 200 feet across. Pretty good size dam. It jammed up these logs and everything. Everything that just kind of come down, and it was just jammed up in this area where a hill over here and a hill over here. And so, and then the soil built up behind that dam. And the soil that we were lucky enough to be down there at that time was backed up way back up there. You know, it's hard to explain how things happen on those dam. Floods come through there and change things different, make the whole area different, see? So, because I didn't know how it was before, I could only remember how it was when I was there, you know? Because before, they could tell me, oh, yeah, this was different, that was different. And it, it's hard to visualize what could be before it happened. So you just kind of take it for what it's worth. And it was lucky enough that all this soil that washed up behind that was good area for us to track her. Well, we didn't really track her, but we got tracked. And the hill's over here and a hill here. And when she went left, she just kind of went like this and up around. And then Roger was over here one time with a film. And then he said, cover me, Bob. And of course, we didn't know what to expect, whether she'd come back after us or get pissed off and do whatever. And so Roger would get, he'd film a little bit, and then he'd get so it wasn't really good. So he'd say, cover me. So he'd run over here and get squatted down when she's moving around over here. And so this all kind of happened pretty fast, you know.
I'll bet.
Yeah, it was all pretty fast because she wasn't running or nothing, but her steps were like 48 inches steps. And I say that, and some guys say, 48 inches ain't very much. I said, get up here and make a 48-inch stride. And you'll see that it's more than you think. And I've had some big guys like you guys get up and say, walk across there. They don't make no 48-inch stride.
My stride, it takes me two strides for 5.2 feet. Two strides for me to get even, to get over that.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, and you're a pretty good-sized feller. People don't seem to understand the realities of what did happen. It was pretty hard for them to understand that it wasn't just out here having a good time and watching things roll. It was serious.
Well, even the horses reacted, right?
Oh, God, did they ever. Roger's little horse, I said one time, I made the mistake of saying, Roger's little horse blew up. And some lady said, how many pieces, Bob?
Oh, goodness.
And I thought, I said, well, Roger's little horse got pretty rowdy. And tried to unload him, you know. But he was a pretty good rider. And he was able to get his camera out of the saddlebag. He left with the two strings that keep the saddlebag down. Roger always left the one open so he could reach in and get his camera. He was a pretty much ready kind of guy. All the time. And he was a good athlete. But anyway, to make a story a little bit shorter, Roger was right there riding in front of me when this all happened. And we come around this downfall root system that had washed in there, and the creek had rerouted itself. Or I don't know if it rerouted, but it was kind of around here. And And then the area over here was all backed up from mm-hmm. coming down all the mountains. Mm-hmm. So, well, when I first saw her, she was standing still mm-hmm. by the creek, not knelt down. And Roger said, well, just the split second or the second before that, she was kneeling down by the creek. And I didn't see that because I was just a little bit behind Roger.
Sure.
And but anyway, and then instead of her just, well, we didn't know what to expect.
Right.
Whether she'd get angry or whether she'd get, you know, didn't want us there or whatever. So I actually pulled the rifle out of the scabbard. I had a rifle in mm-hmm. in my scabbard. And I actually pulled my rifle out. Never did put a shell in the chamber or sure. anything. But I was kind of, hey, this thing's huge. Yeah. And so I did have no idea how big one of them would be.
Yeah.
If Roger talked about them and talked about this and that, and he didn't have no idea either. Never seen one.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a hurry up kind of thing because she was leaving all the time and never did stop to. Well, the only time she really turned with that famous
yep.
was when I rode across the creek and got down off the horse. She didn't know what to expect, I suppose,
because yeah.
she made that look at me or turned like that. And I never thought about that until after I saw the film.
Right.
You know, and I said, well, hell, she turned to look at me. And so, well, or see what I was doing, because when I stepped down off the horse, I had that rifle in my hands. I know I'm glad that I never needed to use it.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I didn't know what to expect either.
Right. Right. Yeah, you're looking at something you've never seen before.
And you huge.
Yeah, huge.
And big, you know.
Yeah.
And so, because I'd hunted elk and I'd hunted deer and I'd hunted cougar mm-hmm. and stuff. But that's a whole different story. You're on a hunt deal, not something right there in front of you that's coming and just walking away.
Right.
But anyway, you know. It was all different, and of course I was young then, and
sure.
well, we were both young then. See, Roger, about a year or so younger than me.
The Paranormal Portal will return after these messages. And now, back to the Paranormal Portal.
Roger were both in rodeos as well, right?
Yeah, we rode. Well, Roger rode bulls, and I rode bulls on bareback.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. We thought we were tough.
Well, at 90 years old, you are tough.
Well, but we really thought we were tough,
right.
You know, because Roger was a powerful guy and worked out all the time, and did things, and I worked in the fields and stuff all the time, you know.
Oh, sure.
And I was in great shape too, so well, you don't even realize that at the time. You're just there,
yeah.
You know, you're just, you don't really think about all the condition that you're in, because Roger could do a handstand and walk up and down stairs on his hands with his feet straight in the air.
Oh, wow.
I never was quite that good.
You're good enough to ride a bull, and that in and of itself.
Oh, yeah, I was.
That's amazing.
I was in really excellent shape because
sure.
I did a lot of things. Well, I grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
And it was work all, you know, a
yeah.
lot. Only times that we didn't work was school days mm-hmm. and on Sunday, you know.
Yep.
And the rest of the time, it was hell-bent for election. Well, you know, my dad was a hard-working guy, and he expected his boys, there was four of us boys, and he expected us to do the same. But, you know, when you're kind of poor, you know, everybody works.
Sure. Right.
You know, there's no freeloaders. And my sisters work. And my mother worked just like a man in the fields. Uh-huh. And then milk cows and raised a family, too, you know. Had sure. six kids. So it's hard to even imagine how times were back then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we was down in the Ozark Mountains.
Oh.
And just 10 miles, well, not quite 10 miles from a little town called Highlandville.
Oh, okay.
And Ozark was 11 and a half miles from where we lived. And, of course, Springfield was on bigger and farther away.
Sure.
So, you know, it seems like it was kind of a dream, but it wasn't a dream. It was real.
Yeah, yeah.
It was real. But now times have changed so dramatically that, you don't have to worry about that food to set on the table now near as much. But we, on the farm, we had everything that we needed. We didn't really know any different.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it was something that we was as well off as anybody.
Sure.
Because we had enough to eat
yeah.
and a place to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And in the winter, had a great big old barrel. You guys probably don't know what a barrel wood stove.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've seen this.
Yeah. And so you had the wood stacked up out there and just kept feeding it into it. Because wow. that thing would get, I can remember a lot of times, I'd hang my socks up out there from being out in the snow and stuff. And it wouldn't take too long to dry them because yeah. that old big old barrel stove put out the heat and it'd be cherry red along the side.
Yes.
Yeah,
wow.
But it's hard to explain all of that yeah. to anything now because there is no such thing.
Right.
Right. It was a different world for sure, right?
A whole different world. Yeah. But we were happy.
Yeah.
Hey, I was from a big family and mm-hmm. We didn't know any different.
Yeah, right. Well,
you know, I mean, my mom worked and we lived in a big old wood house mm-hmm. with cracks in the floor. You could see the chickens running right underneath the house. And
wow.
my mom is standing by the stove, almost freeze her feet, cooking, and it was colder than hell, you know.
I bet, yeah.
And so everything was made out of down and feathers then. Yeah. So our beds and stuff, we just snuggle in there and stay warm. And my mom would have a rock or something, warm it up on the stove and then wrap it in a towel and put it on our feet. It's kind of hard to explain.
But I'll tell you what, everybody was tough back then, right?
They had to be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what's amazing. And you know, we've got so much modern convenience now and stuff, we just don't have to work for it.
Yeah, and we don't even think about it. Right. And it is a good thing because, you know, but we didn't know any different.
Sure, right.
It was a way of life. Everybody was that way. Well, not everybody, but the people that lived down in the areas where we were at. Mm-hmm. Now, the people that lived up in Ozark and around that, they had a different lifestyle.
Sure.
But down in them, we lived on a road called Woods's Fork.
Oh, okay.
So some people by the name of Woods, I guess, I don't know because I was pretty young, got the road and stuff built. It was just dirt road.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was not paved at all.
Yeah.
And in the winter time, you'd have soft spots in it and get stuck. Mm-hmm. We had an old Model T truck or Model A. It was a Model A, is what we had to travel around in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we had an old mule. A lot of times it'd be bad weather and good for I froze solid, you know, and that truck couldn't get going good, and so we'd bring that old mule out and hook her up to that, and she'd dig in and fall down and get up and
aww.
Go and get that thing pulled around. And so it, you know, it's so different.
Right. So now here you are. You live this life. You've been working hard. This one moment happens to you. What? How did that just change your whole world?
Oh, it changed it because, well, to start with, nobody believed it.
Yeah.
And I was kind of pissed off because nobody believed what I'd tell them. So I just kind of, you know, what the heck?
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah.
But it changed the whole my whole lifestyle.
Right.
You know, I was married, but my wife wasn't used to that kind of life, and so she took a lot of ridicule too, because she was worked at a savings and loan institution, and she worked on the line as a teller, right, right up, and so people would come up and say, hey, they'd see her name there, Judy Gimlin, and they say, "You're Bob Gimlin's wife, huh?" Yeah. Oh, God, dang. What's wrong with that old boy anyway? You know?
Yeah.
He went down there in California, saw a Bigfoot. What the hell? Somebody in a suit dressed up like a monkey? And she'd say, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
But that's been quite a while, too.
Sure. Since. It's got to be surreal because in a moment, your life changed. And you became from this person that was alive to this person that everybody knows.
Yep. You know? Absolutely. And that changed so quick, you know, that it was pretty hard to get used to. But, you know, you either make it or break it.
Right. Right.
So I decided, hey, I'm not going to buckle down to nothing.
Well, you know, I got to give you both, you and Roger, a lot of respect because, sure, you brought it out. And it would have been easy for you guys just to just kind of fade away.
But
you all stood in front of it and said, look, this is the story. This is what happened. And that took a hell of a lot of courage.
Well, I didn't think about the courage it took, but I was just telling what happened.
Right.
You know, and how it happened. Mm-hmm. And of course, times are so different now that it's hard to explain it.
Yeah.
When you do have something as unusual as that was at the time, you get an awful lot of ridicule.
Sure.
A powerful lot of ridicule.
Yeah.
And so they try to make you act like an idiot or whatever.
Sure.
And if you just don't, then they don't know what to do. But I only tell what I saw and what happened.
Yeah.
And so not you guys, but I figured if you don't believe it, hell with you.
Yeah, good for you. Good
you
for
know,
you.
Because I'm not trying to make it up. Mm-hmm. Not trying to do anything unusual to get attention. I'm just saying what happened.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe it, then go.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of neat now in our modern day. Here we are in Medellin Falls, Washington, and people are driving to come see you.
Yeah.
I mean, and now it's like, you know, we're in a different era.
Whole different era.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I wish Roger was still alive, that little son of a gun. but he isn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it would have been a lot easier on me if Roger was still alive. He could have took some of the bluntness that I took.
Or at least you'd have somebody to share it with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That'll alone have somebody to kind of back it up. But, you know, dadgummit, I feel bad about Roger's death and stuff. Because,
sure.
Doggone it, you know, he was a neat little guy.
Yeah, he sounds like he was. I mean, obviously, most of us will never have had the pleasure of knowing him, but I think he lives on through you and through you coming to events like this. Like, you're sharing his and your story, and that's powerful. Because, you know, I mean, if anything, people have always been a culture of stories, you know, and you're still here representing that, and that's beautiful.
The Paranormal Portal will return after these messages. And now, back to the Paranormal Portal.
Now, before we're done, I don't want to keep you long because I know you've probably told these stories a gajillion times, and I don't want to just give you the same interview everyone else has done, but I got to ask you. You had a weird neighbor one time, huh? Mr. Evil Knievel?
Hey, you know, guys, before he was Evil Knievel, uh-huh. He and I were good friends.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he was a marvelous guy.
He was a neat guy. Yeah. They just didn't come no tougher than Bob Knievel.
Wow, yeah.
Before he was ever Evil Knievel, he was Bob Knievel from Montana. And he actually was a motorcycle salesman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He worked for a guy down in Sunnyside. You know where Sunnyside, Washington is?
No, mm-hmm. I don't. But Don does. That's his name.
Okay. He worked for a guy and had a motorcycle shop. And he and I rode together out in the hills and on races, out cross-country races and stuff. And he said, "Hey, Bob," he said, "I've got a really good deal going." He said, "I've got Daredevil stuff." And I said, "Oh, shit." He said, "Come with me. We can really make a lot of money." Because he said, "There's nobody else doing it." I said, "Well, yes, there is. There's a guy named Bob Keefe right here in Yakima that rides through the Ring of Fire and just stuff like that."
Sure.
And I said, "Hell, I'm loaning him money." Because I knew him real well. And he was a good guy.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Shit, I'm supporting him part of the time because he was always broke." Anyway, Bob says, "Well," he said, "I don't know." He said, "I'm just going to," he said, "come with me and we'll do these things." And he said, "I'm going to jump these buses and stuff." And I said, "Well, hey, you know, I've got a family.
Yeah.
I can't do that." Well, he didn't have Bobby then yet.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Well, I guess he did, but Bobby was just a little kid about 4 or 5 years old doing stuff out with the kids and stuff,
sure.
You know.
Yeah.
But next thing I know, he was called Evil Knievel. Because he was a tough son of a gun.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
You know, I've got a guy to tell you this. He used to do like that, and he was a motorcycle salesman. And if you could bend his wrist down over the table, you get half price on a motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
He was so stout.
Yeah.
And he had so much muscle and grip in his hands. Very few guys could do that. Could bend his hand down over the table.
Wow,
that's awesome.
He was a really neat guy. I know he had to go to jail and do stuff, but really, all in all, he was a good guy.
Right. Oh, neat.
Just a tough son of a gun.
Well, yeah, all the broken bones he had, the concussions.
And get up and do it all over again.
Yeah.
While he's broke.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and I was glad I didn't go do that because I had a wife and a kid and a boy. My first boy was born. And so I didn't want to take a chance.
Right, yeah.
If I hadn't have been married, I probably would have.
Daredevil Bob Gimlin.
Yeah. Because I was about as crazy as Bob.
Oh, really?
Knievel was. But he was such a new... I sure hated that he died young because he was such a... He just didn't take... He wouldn't take no shit from anybody.
Really? Oh, yeah.
He was just a tough guy.
Yeah.
An old Montana tough boy.
Wow.
I tell you what, I'll never forget him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I had his toys growing up. Oh, yeah. I had that motorcycle, you put the cord in, you zip it, and then it goes down. And they sold a ramp with it and stuff. Yeah. I just had a ball with that. But I remember watching the TV shows. Evil Knievel jumps the sharks and stuff like that. It's like, wow. You know, I was just enamored with it.
He was the first guy that really did that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I imagine there's quite a few now. But, you know, he jumped buses
Yeah.
and stuff like that. And So, and I'd watch it on television, and I'd think, God damn, you know.
Were you a little nervous watching it? Like,
yeah.
hard to even watch, yeah?
Well, when he jumped to Grand Canyon, you know.
Oh, yeah. He shot himself in that rocket, yeah.
Yeah, oh, and I said, hell, he'll be a pile of junk down in the valley. But, you know, we were both young then.
Sure.
Crazy, and unfortunately, he died young. You know, you can't have everything. At one time, he had just about as close to everything that you could get.
Right. Sure.
Because he had anything that
down
he...
Down in Las Vegas, doing what he did down in Vegas. And
That whole stuntman thing, that's incredible.
And I felt that he was underpaid at the start. When he first started, he wasn't making big bucks.
Sure. Somebody was, but he wasn't the one, huh? Mm. Somebody was getting that money.
somebody that was sponsoring him.
Yeah.
You know, was making the money. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, we all got to face it sooner or later, but it's too bad that he had to go early.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, there was a reason.
Sure.
Had to be a reason.
Right. Well, he left a big footprint, you know. He left a big footprint in life. And, you know, I mean, he's been an inspiration for a lot of people going forward, just like yourself. I mean, a lot of the people that are coming to this Bigfoot Festival, you're the guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I kind of know that, you know. I don't look at it that way at all, but I got to realize it, you know, but... Yeah. Well, it's all good, and I just live my life the way I should, you know.
Yeah.
I ride my horses, and I mow the fields and do the things that a guy does.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a little old for a lot of that stuff, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, it's been an absolute pleasure to get to know you, and I've really enjoyed watching you at this event because... You are genuinely happy to see these people, and it all day long yesterday.
I like people.
Yes, you do.
To start with, I like people.
Uh-huh.
And then for them to come to something, to just be there, and you know that they honestly think about things like that.
Yeah.
And, because they wouldn't be there otherwise.
Yeah.
And it makes me happy to look out there and see a lot of faces.
Yeah.
And it's not because there's a lot of people there. It's just because I know that they think they got a mindset similar to mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That there's a reason why they're there.
Yeah.
And a pretty much pure good reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to learn more.
Yeah. Right.
And so it pleases me.
Yeah.
So what do you think about, I mean, since 1967 and it really coming out and seeing the growth of the community, you know?
It just appalls me, you know. I mean, I think, God, this really went.
Yeah.
I mean, something that we never even thought about much is big.
Right.
Yeah.
It is big. And so think about it and think it over.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of do, and I'm happy that people come and want to talk to me and listen and stuff. And when I first... started, I couldn't believe it. I thought, gee whiz.
Yeah.
There's people out there that's interested. So it kind of turned my whole life around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my hat's off to you and all that you've done. I mean, you and Roger lit this fire, you know, and you created this incredible awareness in a lot of people that... Our world's a lot bigger than we think it is, and there's a lot more in it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, a lot of even unknown stuff is still in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I never thought about that much then because I was young and just, you know, running, hey, whatever it is, it is.
Yeah.
And, but, You know, I've thought as I'm older, you know, and everything, I think an awful lot about it. And it's amazing how far it's gone.
It is.
It really is amazing. So there got to be a few of them out there.
There is. Yeah. I just want to thank you for making the time, making yourself available to us. This is an absolute honor for me personally. I'm just thrilled to meet you this weekend, have a chance to talk to you, get to know you, and hang out with you. And so thank you for agreeing to this. This is really amazing.
Well, thank you guys for being here and listening to all my talk and whatever I'm rattling on about, you sure. know. But it's a pleasure to meet you guys.
Thank you.
Honestly, a pleasure to meet you guys. Because I'm a people person.
Yeah, you are.
I like people.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful. I'm thankful to the Lord for all of the things that's available and what we have and how much it's advanced since World War II, just since World War II, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm an old man now, but I'm damn grateful.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful for everything.
Well, we're really grateful for you, and thank you so much. And this is a bucket item list for me. You know, you get a bucket in life, and you want to fill it with these special things.
Yes.
This is one of mine, so.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah, by golly. I still got a few things in my bucket list.
There you go. Nice. Keep looking forward.
I'm not done yet.
Good for you, boss. Good for you.
Because I'm 90 years old, but I'm going to make 100.
There you go. You will. Absolutely.
And when I make 100, then I'm going to slow down a little bit.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Well, you're most welcome, guys. It's a pleasure to meet you fellas.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at paranormalportal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.